Well, good morning. I am blessed and thrilled to be here. As Caleb said, we go way back, known Sean for a long time, and actually when I was a youth pastor at Laurelwood, had him come speak at our youth group while he was still with Youth for Christ. So briefly, real quick, let's see, what about me that he didn't share? I'm actually going to be stepping into my boss's shoes in about a month. So I will be the regional coordinator that oversees the networks in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Alaska. In fact, tomorrow morning, I'm heading up to Seattle to join my boss, and we fly up to Alaska for the Fusion Alaska Youth Conference. We'll see about 800 youth up there, and we have the privilege of leading about 4 workshops for the youth leaders that are there. Excited to do that, but excited also to see what God is doing in and among the churches here in Clark County. I'm married. My wife, who's my better third, she couldn't be here this morning. My oldest daughter serves in the nursery at Laurelwood, and so they are there. But my second daughter, Jada, came with me. She's had the opportunity to connect with the worship nights that are happening here, and excited for that. Grew up in Spokane, Washington, and moved down here about 18, 19 years ago to go to school, and found an internship at Laurelwood Baptist, where I was the intern and then the interim, served 10 years full-time as the youth pastor. Then I had the really cool privilege of actually handing off to one of my students, who handed off to one of their students, who is our youth pastor right now, Sam Halstead. And I've got this really cool dynamic role at my church where I'm the elder that oversees the youth ministry that I used to be the youth pastor of, handing off to my student, but I'm still a volunteer in that youth ministry. And so it's a beautiful combination. I love it. But you know, as Caleb said, I love seeing churches come together and do together what none of them could do alone. And that's really a lot of what we're going to be focusing on today. As you can probably guess, I've played a lot of basketball in my day. And when it came to the big games, nothing drew the crowds like the rivalry game. Think, well, you tell me, who's the rival for Hawkinson High School? I've heard Ridgefield. You know, what's the big game? Washougal. All right. You know, that usually when you have those rivalry games, you know, they bring out the best of competition. Growing up in Spokane in the 80s and 90s, the rivalries that I was aware of were Sonics versus the Blazers, Wazoo versus UW. But for me in particular, it came down to West Valley and Cheney. Our rivalry was heated. It was sometimes ugly. I remember my teammate once, I was sitting on the bench during a game, and someone from the crowd opposite threw a nickel that hit my teammate in the eye. I remember there being fights at halftime of both basketball games and football games among our student body. And sometimes it got a little out of hand on the court too. This picture that you see is actually me. I'm number 43 there, the one tall, lanky kid. And those two guys, thankfully underneath me, are Jed Palmer and Brad Dawson. We had some battles. In fact, my senior year, we were in a three-way tie for the league title, and we had to face each other to go to state. Now, they knocked us into the loser bracket. It was double elimination, and when it came to championship weekend, we had to beat them twice, and they only had to beat us once. First night, went out there. It was a battle. It was a struggle. Had a really good game, solid game, and we ended up winning by about 5. So we got to the championship game, and it was winner all. Our winner to state, loser home. I'd love to say that was my best game ever, but it wasn't. In the middle of the second quarter, at one point, I got tripped. I landed on my hip. It swole up. I was getting elbowed. I was getting punched. It got pretty ugly out there. And we ended up losing that game. My very last high school basketball game. It was not the note I wanted to end on. It was also March 5th, 1994, my 18th birthday. So I will always remember this. It was not fun. But like I said, in sports, rivalries can often bring out the best in the competition and in both teams, but they can turn ugly and create arch rivals or even enemies. Obviously, rivalries aren't exclusive to sports. They happen sometimes in everyday life. You might see someone as a rival who maybe bullied you at school, maybe a neighbor that you have a contentious relationship with, might be a coworker, maybe someone that beat you out for a role that you applied for. And sadly, rivalries can even develop between churches and ministries who seem to think that reaching the world for Christ is a competition between them. You know, even locally, I've talked to youth pastors in a nearby town who each of them had a club on their high school campus. And although it wasn't the mind of the youth pastors, the students themselves were very territorial and they did not want to mix. So you had two ministries trying to reach their peers for Christ, and yet they couldn't get along. In my day, we had a youth group across town, and we knew, like, some of us students would like to sneak over to their youth group, and other students would come to our youth group, and there was just this sense of, like, wait, what are you doing here? You're from that other youth group. Even though we did camps together, too. You've already heard about ETV and ETM. This year, we had 9 churches from Portland, Vancouver, and even Kennewick join us for an awesome week down at Tie Valley. This last week, we came off of a great time with 8 of those churches, also with our middle schoolers. And clearly, what we see is none of these churches could do alone what we all can do together. So competition in and of itself, it's not a bad thing, but competition can push rivals into becoming enemies, or it can undermine a church's and a ministry's vision and ultimate goals when they get in each other's way while they're working to reach people for Christ. Worse yet, if things get ugly in those churches and in those ministries, it may be the very reason why people want nothing to do with Jesus. This morning, I want to take a look at what God's Word says about rivalries and enemies and how to move from competition to collaboration. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today for this opportunity we have to come together to worship you, to hear from your Word. Lord, we pray that it would just impact our hearts, our minds, but also our communities, our families, and our lives in a way that helps us, Lord, to move from any sense of competition to a sense of collaboration and the unity that you so desire. We lift this up to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. If you would, join me in looking at Matthew 5. We're gonna look at verses 43 through 48. Now, this passage in Matthew is part of Jesus' teaching and follows shortly after one of his most famous teachings, the Beatitudes, where he seems to take our human thinking and flip the script and reverse it upside down. Excuse me. Verse 43 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those that love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So if I'm reading this right, Jesus tells us to love our enemies instead of doing what comes naturally to us, hating them. And not only are we to love our enemies, but we're to pray for them. I don't know about you, but the first question I ask when I read this is why? Why would God say this? Why should I love my enemies and pray for them? It goes against the very fiber of my being to do so. 2 verses in Romans, I feel, provide some pretty simple and quick answers to this. The first is Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10 tells us that it is the nature of God to forgive. It says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." And then a little earlier in Romans 2:4, it says that God seeks repentance. It says, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" So again, it's the nature of God to forgive. It is his desire that all should come to repentance. These same ideas can move churches and ministries from seeing each other as competition into partnering together in gospel-focused collaboration. This can have major impact on a community. again, look what happens when eight or nine churches come together for a summer camp. There's no way that any one of these churches could put on ETV or ETM with the same capacity and fruitfulness as when all these churches come together. As I pointed out to students in our times, I got to lead a day activity at our high school camp. I did an initiative this last week with our middle school students, helping them to see the value of unity. And they get it. Like we would do games together. We would worship together. We would just even eating lunch and dinner and breakfast together was just so much more of a fruitful experience than having one church alone. Heck, there was one church, I think it only had 4 kids at ETV. They've got no chance of pulling that off. But when you bring 8 churches together, 9 churches together, you see almost, what we have, close to 250 high schoolers and about 200 middle schoolers coming together to worship Christ together. Now, the saying that we have at NNYM is, as we create and equip networks of youth leaders, is never alone because we're better together. And these two passages in Romans can also give us a starting point for how to pray for our enemies. Pray and ask God to help you forgive your rival or your enemy, and to help you know how you can show them kindness, a level of kindness that God can use to draw them to himself. One of Jesus' prayers where we're going to focus today is in John 17, and this provides even more insight into his mind on collaboration. So join me in John 17, verses 18 through 21, which is part of Jesus' prayer for all people of his church, past, present, and future. Verse 18 says, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." I see 3 things in this passage that I want to bring our attention to this morning as we consider how to move from competition to collaboration. First, those who believe in me. Those who believe in me is referring to all Christ followers. Jesus doesn't make any distinction for denomination, preference. There's no preference of denomination or church of any Christ followers he's praying for. Basically, all means all. All believers, past, present, and future, is who he is praying for. Second, the unity that God is praying for on behalf of all Christ followers is on the same level as the unity that Jesus has with the Father and that the Father has with the Son. Let me say that again. Jesus is praying that all believers would have the same kind of unity with each other that Jesus has with God the Father. That's a high goal. And third, that level of unity among Christ followers is necessary as a witness to the world. In fact, it's the key ingredient to help the world see that God loves them, wants a relationship with them, and invites us to partner with him in his saving work in the world. I would go so far as to say that the lack of unity we see today among our churches is one of, if not the primary hindrance that is keeping people both here and around the world from considering a relationship with Jesus, let alone darkening the doorstep of our churches. Putting these 3 together, Jesus' prayer here is that all Christians would be united together in such a way that the world would see God through them and want a relationship with him too. Okay, so what? What are we going to do about this? The answer to that question for me is why I joined the National Network of Youth Ministries. You see, even in my growing up years, I saw how churches coming together to do camps was very fruitful above what my own youth group could do. When I moved down to Vancouver and joined Laurelwood, ETM and ETV ETV at least, had already started, had been going for several years, and has now, I think this year was about the 23rd year of ETV. And ETM has grown out of that. I saw these things. I got connected to some local youth workers locally, and so that's always been a part of youth ministry that I've been blessed by and have had opportunity to contribute towards. So when I learned about National Network of Youth Ministries and what they do and how they serve, when it came time for me to step away from my role as a youth pastor, I reached out to them. NNYM seeks to build healthy networks of youth leaders who pray together, build relationships, develop strategies, and share resources so that every student has the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. My role gives me the opportunities to learn from and speak into the lives of youth and youth leaders from all Christian denominations and a wide variety of parachurch student ministries, all of which are seeking to reach this generation of middle school and high school students with the gospel. In essence, if churches and ministries are the bricks, we want to be the mortar with God as the mason. We have found that when it comes to theology, the common ground that denominations have far outweigh the differences that separate them. And usually those differences have more to do with the practice, the worship, how to lead a church from a governmental aspect than it does with the salvation issues of Christ alone. It really, there's so much more in common that we have than what sets us apart. And I find that this is mostly true on a personal level, even with my neighbors. When it comes to the human experience, we have way more in common with the people around us, whether they're friendly or contentious, than what separates us. Even the most bitter rivals have similar needs, hopes, dreams, and desires. What's different often are the avenues through which we choose to achieve them. So what does it take to reveal this need to move from competition to collaboration? How can we persuade enemies to become friends? Proverbs 25 provides some wisdom here, as Proverbs does. Verse 21 and 22 says this. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Again, I see a very backward idea of how to deal with an enemy here. So backwards that it has the potential to really get their attention. Feed them, give them something to drink, treat them hospitably as if they're already your friend. That just sounds crazy. Have you ever seen that happen? I have. Remember my last basketball game? So for me, feeding my enemy came in the form of Dairy Queen. Go ahead and show that picture. So this is Brad. After the game that we won and before the game that they took me out, my mom and a couple friends, we went to Dairy Queen for dinner after the game, and just happened that it was the same Dairy Queen that Brad Dawson was craving. So he walks in the door, he sees me, he's like, I look at him, he looks at me, and I'm like, good game, man. We'll see you tomorrow night. Looking forward to it. Want to join us for dinner? Sure. Kind of struck him by surprise. Sat down, had a good meal, went out that next night. Like I said, they took me out. Career over, bad birthday, real bummer. A couple months later, though, I get a phone call. Pick up the phone. Is this Phil Ball? This is. This is Brad Dawson. And I'm thinking, what in the world is he, like, for one, how did he get my number? For two, why the heck is he calling? He says, you know, I need to tell you something. After that first game, actually our coach called us in, me and Jed, and we actually plotted how we were going to take you out of that game. And I'm calling today because it's been eating at me ever since. Could you find it in your heart to forgive me? I said, and at that moment, I was like, buddy, it's water under the bridge. Yeah, I forgive you. And then he said, any chance that you would want to join Jed and I to play in Hoop Fest, which is the largest 3-on-3 basketball tournament in the world? He's asking me now to be a teammate. I'm like, yeah, that'd be fun. Let's do it. So that next summer, we played in Hoop Fest. We got second place, but man, we had a whole lot of fun together, got to know each other, really enjoyed our time together, and ever since, Brad and I have been good friends. I went on to play at Gonzaga University, and Brad was a huge fan. He and I, even today, like if there's a Gonzaga game on, I'm either FaceTiming or texting back and forth through the whole game with Brad, Doesn't matter where I am, what time of day or night, we're always talking Gonzaga basketball. I even texted him last night just to pray for today as I share our story. And I'm looking forward to seeing him in a couple weeks when I'm in Spokane. So I am thankful for what God did in the midst of a rivalry that went from competitive to now collaborative. And he and I are good friends and we support each other. So maybe as I share this, there's a name that comes to your mind. What does it look like for you to move from competition to collaboration? What does it look like for you to love your enemies? I offer these thoughts or these applications. First, I would encourage you to change your perspective. Don't make mountains out of molehills. In our day-to-day lives, we may have disagreements, but someone is only a rival or an enemy if we place that label on them. And if this is how you feel toward a fellow Christ follower, then something is not right. We need to go to people, keep short accounts, ask forgiveness, offer forgiveness. Consider that when Scripture encourages us to run the race set before us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, that this race we're all running is a relay that we run with those who we share faith with in Jesus with around the world, instead of an individual 100-yard dash with the person that we're sitting next to or everyone else. When we take the collaborative approach, some remarkable things can happen. We've already mentioned the summer camps. But even right now in Portland, Together PDX is a movement to bring churches all across Portland and Vancouver together to reach the community for Christ. The youth conferences over these last couple years have seen over 60 youth ministries come together on one night all across Multnomah County, even Clark County, to raise awareness for prayer in schools, for how they can help each other and connect with each other and even lead clubs. And there are ministries like Crew, Young Life, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Teach One to Lead One, all active right here in Clark County that are seeking to start campus clubs, something that I encourage students to think about these last 2 weeks at camp. Even coming up August 14th through the 21st, some of you have probably participated along with Sean and Caleb with the 1 hour of prayer for schools in Clark County. We want to see all 85 middle schools and high schools, plus all of the, I think, 60 or 70 more elementary schools where someone is leading a time of prayer on campus just for 1 hour. And that can't be where it ends. We need to pray. We need to pray more. We need to pray more than 1 hour a year. We want to see ongoing prayer for all of these campuses. And out of that prayer, we want to see opportunities to care for students, for teachers on these campuses, to open doors to have opportunities to share the gospel with them. Sorry, my notes moved. Secondly, pray for your enemies. First was change your perspective. Second, change your enemies. I'm sorry, pray for your enemies. And pray for yourself, that God would help you to see them as God sees them and would give you a forgiving heart. Listen for what God might be asking you in order to show them the level of care and the love of God that can lead them to repentance. But what if praying for them and forgiving them doesn't bring about the result we want? Why should we continue to pray for and forgive them? Well, maybe it's just the thing that draws us closer to God and more in line with his character to show the love that displays that kindness to our enemies. Romans 5 says that while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, Jesus. So then how might our relationships with rivals and enemies reflect that? Or maybe there was a time when you left a church that you're still feeling hurt from or bitterness towards. Can you forgive those that may have hurt you or offended you? Can you see how God may have been moving you to a different place where you can worship and serve in ministry, one that provides you new opportunities to use your gifts, talents, and abilities and to grow as a disciple of Christ? Can you see how other churches, despite not being a good fit for you, are faithfully carrying out the Great Commission and following the Great Commandment? Do we trust God when he says in 1 Corinthians 12 that God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose? Which leads me to my third and last point. Build on the unity that God has already brought you. The beautiful thing is, here at Hawkinson, I know your leaders already have this in mind. I know you have healthy relationships with churches through ETM, ETV. I know Caleb has also been a part of the North County Network with churches in Battleground and the North County. And your student leaders are connecting with those they've met through these camps for further times of worship and fellowship and encouragement. My daughter Jada has been going the last couple weeks and is planning to go tonight, along with several others from Laurelwood. I know Gateway has been attending. So we're seeing this even among our students and the student leaders. In addition, many students in our area have shown a desire to pray for, care for, and share Jesus with fellow students on their school campuses. And as a church, you have a growing impact here in Hawkinson. As you've collaborated with local community leaders, how else would Pastor Sean be given the opportunity to MC the blueberry pie eating contest? Seriously, how cool is that? Keep it up. That is awesome. Continue to build on these. Each one of us can live this out in our families, our neighborhoods, our schools, our jobs, or wherever God has planted you and everywhere he's leading you. As I close, remember, competition and even rivalries can be good in the right context. But if they get out of hand, what can emerge are enemies, disunity, and even hate. Jesus prays against this in John 17, emphasizing that the world will see God when they see the unity among his people. When we encounter rivals and enemies, we should pray for them, forgive them, and treat them hospitably, and God may use that to reveal himself to them. It's just the kind of thing that God likes to do. Flipping the script in a way that is backwards to what the world expects. This can bring about a change in their perspectives and in ours, making friends from former enemies. And where God brings unity, he can work powerfully. So build on it. Maybe you're here today and you're still an enemy of God. I hope that you heard today that God loves you, even if you are his enemy. He loves us enough that he sent Jesus, his son, to die for us, for you, and for me. Today, you can choose to stop being his enemy and instead become his adopted son or daughter, called to a new life in him. The truth is, God may love us the way we are, even when we're his enemies, but he also loves us too much to let us stay that way. He wants to change us, and only he can. If you'd like to experience this change in your life, let me encourage you to consider that God created us to have a relationship with him. It's our own sin that separates us from God, and no good deeds that we do can help restore that. They can't be removed. No, nothing can remove our sins. None of our good deeds can do that. But instead, God sent Jesus, his son, to pay the price for that. He died for us. He rose again, conquering death, conquering sin. And everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ can have eternal life. And that life can start at this moment and last forever. If you believe that today, let me just pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that even now, if there is anyone who, Lord, you have touched by your word today, Lord, and by the hope that you provide, someone who sees themselves right now as an enemy of you, Lord, I just pray that they would know that you love them, that you died for them, and that you rose again, conquering death and conquering sin. Lord, may right now, Lord, they just speak to you and ask you for your forgiveness. Pray that they would ask you to come into their life, change them, transform them, help them to be a friend of God and no longer an enemy. And Lord, I just pray that you would or just fill them with your spirit so that they know they are yours and they know that you have a plan and a purpose for them and that you have an incredible life ahead of them. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
steps on heaven's mercy seat.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on.
Send us all out of here today with some of Jesus's words from a passage that Phil brought up, but in John chapter 13, verse 35. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Thanks, Phil, for sharing with us this morning and being here. And so enjoy your guys' afternoon. Love you guys.
Thank you.
this afternoon?
Yeah, are you wanting to go golfing?
Yeah, just text me when you guys are on the way. Thanks, Olivia. I'm glad we got you on this week, this month. Yeah. Did you by any chance block off any dates for next month?